Picture this. A patient walks in with signs of Alzheimer's. They get a PET scan, checking for amyloid and tau buildup. Fast forward 6 months. Different hospital, different scanner. Maybe it's a PET MRI this time instead of a PET court. You'd assume the imaging would line up, right? Except it doesn't. The numbers are different. The thresholds don't match. Now you're staring at results, wondering, is the patient actually improving, getting worse? Or is the equipment just playing tricks? That's the real headache a team tackled in a recent NPJ digital medicine paper, and their solution? Surprisingly elegant. Published just recently in March 2026, this work digs into a fundamental neuroimaging challenge: cross-platform harmonization. Here's the core problem. PET imaging for neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's has become fragmented across the industry. Different manufacturers, different platforms. PET court versus PEEETATES, different tracers like amyloid and tau. Each one spits out slightly different quantitative values, even when scanning the same patient on the same day. It's like owning 10 thermometers that all measure temperature on different scales. Clinically, this creates real friction. Diagnostic thresholds, those numbers that separate amyloid positivity from negativity, are locked to specific platforms. A cutoff developed for PET court doesn't automatically work for PET team RI. The result? Multicenter trials struggle. Patients moving between hospitals become hard to track over time. Resources get wasted. Everyone loses. Then came the deep learning solution. Researchers built a unified neural network that teaches itself to harmonize PET MRI images to match PET court standards. The clever part, it does this across multiple tracers at once. This isn't a one tracer, one scanner setup. This is genuinely integrated. What they found is striking. On same-day paired scans, they knocked down cross-platform bias by over 80%. But here's the critical bit. They did it without corrupting the biological signal. The relative distribution of tracer across brain regions stayed put. This isn't arbitrary rescaling. It's correcting systematic differences while keeping the actual biological information intact. Then there's the zero-shot generalization angle. The framework ran on tracers it had never encountered during training. And it still worked. That tells you something important. The model grabbed something fundamental about imaging physics and biology, not just memorized specific patterns. They pushed further with multi-center validation, the real-world test. They tracked amyloid-centiloid scores across different centers and platforms. Before harmonization, platforms diverged by 23, 6 centiloids. After? Down to 4, 1. To put that in perspective, PETT's own test-retest variability is around 2, 6. They're basically at the noise floor of the imaging method itself. You can't do better than that. They also aligned tau, SUVR thresholds across platforms, which means the same diagnostic cutoff now works whether a patient was scanned on PET MRI or PET court. So why should you care? Several reasons. Start with clinical consistency. You're monitoring a patient's amyloid and tau over time. First scan at hospital A, PET court. Second scan at hospital B, PET MRI. Now you have a framework that actually lets you compare those scans. You can track whether things are getting better or worse. No more wondering if you're looking at biology or instrument drift. Second win, multicenter trials work better now. Pharma companies running Alzheimer's studies across multiple sites can deploy harmonized imaging biomarkers without worrying about platform-specific offsets. Big deal for regulatory approvals and setting clinical endpoints. Third advantage, and this is underrated, radiation exposure. PET MRI spares patients the radiation burden from CT, but clinicians have stuck with PET court because it came with established normative data and solid thresholds. Now that PET-MRI aligns with PetCourt standards, clinicians can lean on the lower radiation option with confidence. That matters especially for longitudinal studies where patients might need multiple scans. And then there's generalization potential. The framework handled tracers it never saw during training. That opens a door. As new tracers roll out, and they will, because neurodegenerative imaging keeps evolving, you might not need to retrain the whole model. That's a real translation win from research into clinical practice. What's notable about this NPJ digital medicine paper is the philosophy it reflects. Rather than hunting for a single gold standard platform and forcing everything else to match it, the team showed you can use machine learning to create a shared quantitative language across platforms. It's not erasing the underlying physics differences, exactly. It's learning to translate between them while keeping the clinical meaning intact. If you work in neurodegeneration, neuroimaging, or clinical trial design, read this one. This is work that tackles an actual, present tense problem and solves it in a way that could shift clinical practice. And that's the goal, isn't it?